Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Caution Flag. I'm your host, Ian O'Brien. It is a morning edition of the Caution Flag, Wednesday morning edition. And we've had a big week of NASCAR. Let me just tell you that right now. The Xfinity Series race was big. Kyle Busch losing. Let's talk about it. Kyle Busch losing was a really big thing in that Xfinity Series. That race was incredible. And then you had the Cup Series as well. It was just a big week all around for NASCAR. A really good weekend of racing at Phoenix Raceway. Something that we've never really seen in a long time in Phoenix, you know. So Brandon Jones finally won the Xfinity Series. He finally got another win. Remember, he won one race last year, but he also beat out Kyle Busch. That was the biggest thing. Now, there's no bounty here like there is in the Truck Series. There's no 100K bounty right now. And we're going to get to the 100K bounty midway through the show before we preview Atlanta. But we're just going to go over that Xfinity race real quick. You know, Brandon Jones, of course, another up-and-coming star here in the Joe Gibbs Racing alignment. He has been real talented. He has a real talent. You know, only a couple of career wins here and there, but, you know, he knows how to win in tough times. Like, crunch time, he knows how to pull through. He did exactly that here at Phoenix, and he ended up beating Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski. A lot of guys that are Cup guys racing in the series. You know, Ross Chastain too. I know he's more Xfinity, but he's, you know, part-time in that six right now until Ryan Newman comes back. And he finished ninth in that race. So it was really a big win for Brandon Jones and that whole Gibbs team. Congrats to them. That was in the IK9 Service Dog 200. Going on now to the Cup race. Let's talk about the Cup race real quick. The Cup race, Chase Elliott was on pole. And he had the most dominant car ever. I mean, Chase Elliott had a dominant car. It was hard to beat this car. That Uni first Chevrolet Camaro was not to be stopped. I mean, that thing was not to be stopped. It was a real great car all around. But he ran through some trouble. There was a loose wheel. He had to make a pit stop. He went a lap down, and he ended up fighting back to finish seventh in that race. And because of that, of course, he did not, in fact, win a stage in that race. The ones who ended up, in fact, winning stages were, in fact, Kevin Harvick, who led one second most laps. Kevin Harvick was battling for the lead, too, with Chase Elliott there, and he ended up leading 67 laps. He ended up winning stage one, and Brad Keselowski came back from a wreck in stage one, where he basically was turned by Denny Hamlin, who collided with Ryan Blaney. Well, Denny Hamlin basically tapped Ryan Blaney. Blaney spun out. Blaney collected his teammate, Brad Keselowski. Keselowski just got a little bit of fender damage in the back, but Blaney's stay was done. The points leader's stay was done, sadly. Denny Hamlin did not really recover after that race. After that incident, I should say, Denny Hamlin was like nowhere to really be found. He finished 20th. I think he was lap down, technically. Not quite sure, but he was, I think, either lap down or just on the lead lap. He ended up finishing 20th, as I said. And this race was basically, this was honestly one of the best Phoenix races. You know, Brad Keselowski ended up winning stage two, then you had this final stage. You know, Truex had a great car, but he ran into some trouble too. All the Gibbs cars really this whole year have been going through some sort of trouble. I know Denny Hamlin won the 500, but since that, they have really been like a no-show. They have not been there. Kyle Busch hasn't been there. Kyle Busch, guys, has not been there yet. Kyle Busch has kind of been up and down lately. You know, it's only fourth race of the season. Of course, we're going to Atlanta. He could possibly get a win there. Any Gibbs car could snatch a win. But these first four races, you know, besides the 500, Gibbs, they have not really been there. They have not been there. Truex hasn't been there. He doesn't even have a top 10 yet because he's been getting involved in so many wrecks, or he has a manufacturer, or he has a malfunction in his car. Eric Jones just hasn't really been there. You know, he crashed at Phoenix, had a loose wheel, blew a tire in his 20 Interstate Batteries Toyota Camry. Kyle Busch finished third, but he really did not have a winning car all day long. And they haven't really, you know, it's weird. It's usually you see Gibbs pop out immediately. And besides, again, the 500 with Hamlin, which technically shouldn't even have won, Gibbs cars have not really been showing speed. Now, it's going to get better for them, okay? It's Joe Gibbs racing. It's going to get better for them soon. But for now, they have not shown speed. They have not shown that they are a dominant car. That's probably right now going to belong to that of Team Penske. You know, Joey Logano's been, of course, leading that pack. Him and Paul Wolf have been having enormous, great chemistry these first four races. They already have two wins. Logano, remember last year, I think he had about two wins. Like, and then, you know, he didn't win for a while there. Finally got a couple wins here and there. This is big. This is big. This switch in crew chief has been good for all of them. Look, Brakoslawski, even though he finished 11th, won a state, won stage two, he's getting better with his crew chief. And Ryan Blaney's getting better with his crew chief, you know, Todd Gordon. A lot of these guys have been doing better by the looks of it, and they're going to continue going better. Now, I know Kevin Harvick, I mean, Brakoslawski is in a kind of contract year. We don't know what's going to happen with him. We'll have to see what goes on, but he's going to be getting better too. This is one race that Brakoslawski's really good at in Atlanta. You know, he's pretty good at Atlanta. Won here before, so we're going to have to see what happens. All right. So that's probably for most of the race, for like the first part of the race. Second part of the race, wow, was there wrecks everywhere. I mean, Quinn Half wrecked, and then you had Stenhouse wrecking with John Hunter Nemechek, brought another caution. It seemed like Jimmy Johnson was trying to get something going in the 48. That car was horrible in practice, and that car still finished 12th somehow. So take that as you want it with the Hendrick guys. But the Hendrick guys, really, besides Chase Elliott in this race, they were not there. They were kind of fading. Just quiet. Now, two finished in the top 10. But William Byron and Jack Nance played a little bit of strategy. They weren't really there all day long. They were like top 20-ish. Well, Alex Bowman, last week's Auto Club winner, was nowhere to be found here in the Fan Shield 500. He was mediocre. He was bad. And Jimmy Johnson did not have a winning car. He was up there a bit, but Johnson just faded back every single time. And, you know, he was a top 15 car, but not a top 10 car. And, you know, he finished 12th because of that. And let's real quick give a big shout-out here. I want to give a big shout-out. Tyler Reddick. Okay, I know he wrecked. I know Tyler Reddick ended up blowing in the wall. He finished 33rd. But Tyler Reddick, that race showed that RCR was not lacking speed. They were lacking talent. Tyler Reddick is a two-time champ. His first year, people said, was a fluke. Goes to RCR and then dominates in the Xfinity Series. Comes to Cup, and look what he did. Look, he had a car that could have won this race. He was in second place, nearly battled for the lead there with some of these other big names, you know, like Harvick, Elliott for a little bit there, I think. Kislowski. You had him there. And then, of course, you know, Logano too, but he ended up, in fact, I think, going too high on the track. The marbles got to him and ended up getting loose, but still rebounded. He was still top 10. He was like a seventh. His car got back up to speed, but then he just hit the wall. Ended his day, sadly. But here's the thing. Austin Dillon struggled. He hit the wall on lap 131, and he finished 36th. And he was a 20th place car, like a lap down, I think, during that time, too. It was outside of the top 20. It really is talent. Austin Dillon is a fluke. Austin Dillon's two wins have been flukes. Let's go back to the 2017 Coca-Cola 600. How did he win that race? Fuel mileage. Same as Casey Mayer in 2007. And then the 2018 500 he won from wrecking Eric Almirola. Those are the two wins, and both of them have been flukes. Austin Dillon was a good Xfinity Series driver, but he is not a good Cup driver by any means. He cannot regain the Cup exposure. He couldn't bring his championship composure up to the Cup, if that makes sense. He's not good in the Cup Series. And if I'm grandfather Richard Childress, I know I'm not going to replace him because he's my grandson, but I'm looking like this Tyler Reddick kid is putting better finishes than my grandson right now. I know he had a top five, relax. I know he had a top five, but that's what's strategy. That was what's strategy. Tyler Reddick had literally no strategy. He was just literally a fast car with an ECR engine. And he was at second place. There's difference. You can finish well with strategy. Doesn't matter. You could have a good race with strategy. Or here's the thing, you could have a bad race, but you play good strategy, you could finish second or third. And Austin Dillon, that's what happened to him at Las Vegas. I think it was Las Vegas. But here, Tyler Reddick just drove his ass off, and he had a great race. And a big shout out to him because of that. And Tyler Reddick, better be careful, because these rookies right now have not really been showing promise besides him. He leads Rookie of the Year right now. And my gosh, he's going to get it. If he keeps on racing like this, he is going to get Rookie of the Year. Guarantee it. Put money down on the house for it. Tyler Reddick is going to be your Rookie of the Year if he continues to race like this, because that was an amazing performance. Without the wreck, he would have been a contender. I don't think he would have been faster than Logano, you know, because he was good on the long runs, not really in the short runs. After that restart, he would have been at least a top five car. Top 10, top a sixth place to fourth place car, top six car. He would have been right there. I mean, just what he did was unreal to see. It was unreal. He did a great job, and mad respect to him. And another really big respect, too, to Daniel Suarez. Okay, Daniel Suarez has had the worst luck in 2020. In fact, he has had the worst luck his whole Cup career. And it started out bad in 2020. You know, you missed the Daytona 500, you stall. Yeah, you stall. Let's remember that, too. You stall pretty bad as well in your first ever race at Las Vegas. You're stalling. You can't get back to start-finish line. Caution comes out. You finish around 30th. But played some strategy here, too, and he was 8th at one point, Daniel Suarez. Daniel Suarez was 8th at one point for Gaunt Brothers Racing, and his ComScope Toyota Camry ended up finishing 21st. Top 25 place car. That is not bad for a team like that at a one-mile track like Phoenix. That's not bad whatsoever. That's what he needed to build some confidence up. Daniel Suarez, is he going to win a race this year? Probably not. Daniel Suarez's best chances are going to be the road courses. Maybe the Roval too. So it's going to be the Roval. It's going to be Watkins Glen. And it's going to be a Sonoma. Super Speedways, maybe. Talladega Daytona, maybe. That could be a top 10 car, but I don't think that's a race winning car. But that's two big names right there that have really been shown a little bit of promise here. Daniel Suarez seems like he has his composure a little bit back. Tyler Reddick, he's good to go. He's going to probably win some races here. All right, let's real quick now, let's actually go over some little bit of drama, as I said before. I don't know if any of you people know Angela Ruch, or however you pronounce the last name. R-U-C-H, Ruch. I'll just say Ruch. Ruch. Sound like a dog when I'm doing that. Ruch, but yeah. Basically, she's a truck driver. And, you know, there's been a lot of female drivers. Of course, Haley Deacon's the up-and-coming big star. And people talk about Nally Decker, too. Nally Decker actually had a pretty decent finish here a couple of weeks ago. You know, stayed off the wall and stuff like that. You know, she's been getting a little bit better at that, too. She's been, I think, finding herself and how to, you know, stay off the wall. But now we got another one, Angela Ruch. Basically, what happened here is that she went after... Or I think it was his wife or something like that. Yeah, it was the wife. I'm off a perk. It was the husband. But he didn't even say dip shit. You know, I mean, I'm saying that right now because this could be uncut. You know, I don't have to monetize this at all. Unless I put it on YouTube, which I may, so may have to do a bleep, but still. But he says this dip shit Kevin Harvick thinks a bounty between cup drivers is clever. They do this Sunday, moron. I will pay a $50,000 bounty if any cup guy can beat Angela Ruch racing her truck, and she races a KBM GMS Thor Sport truck. Equipment creates their talent. These clowns need attention. Jeez. Okay, here's the first thing. It doesn't matter what equipment you're in. You have to be really talented and good. Okay, let's look at some examples in the past. You ready? Okay, let's look at some examples. First one, Danica Patrick. Danica Patrick had chances to win, don't get me wrong, in the Nationwide Series, well, now Xfinity, but in the Nationwide. Someone, of course, throws a shoe on the racetrack, she doesn't win, but that was basically her only chance. And she was with JR Motorsports, one of the best teams. Couldn't do anything there. Then she couldn't do anything at Stewart Haas Racing and basically was kicked out for her ride after 2017 and had how many top 10s was it? Like, I can't even remember. I can't even remember how many top 10s she had because it was so little. It was such a little number. Her best race I can remember was 2014 Kansas and it was like 7th. But that's another example, you know, and I don't want to pick on Dave Blaney. I like Dave Blaney a lot. You know, he nearly won a few races actually in the Cup. But Dave Blaney, as we can see at Richard Childress Racing in 2005, driving that 07 Jack Chevrolet Monte Carlo, he finished 25th in points. Meanwhile, Jeff Byrne was reviving his career. Kevin Harvick was reviving his career too. I know both did. I think missed the chase. I don't know if Jeff Byrne made it. I don't think he did. Both didn't miss it, but Kevin Harvick still had to win. Jeff Byrne was finishing better. And Dave Blaney was 25th. So, yeah, take that as you want it. Talent is the biggest thing in NASCAR. It doesn't – look, people say it's just driving a wheel. No, talent. If you don't have talent, you're not going to make it. Angelo Rush has zero talent right now. And Mike Rush basically – here's the thing. Angelo Rush in a KBM equipment would still probably crash. I'm just saying that right now. And if you're asking me who the best female driver is, it's Haley Deacon. Haley Deacon is the best female driver that could beat any boy, any man. You put Haley Deacon in that truck, and her like first few starts, she could get maybe a top 10 finish, top 15 finish. Angelo Rush in that truck, it's wrecked. I'm just being honest, too. I'm not really even trying to go after her. I'm just being completely honest with the NASCAR community. She'll wreck the truck. She'll wreck Kyle Busch's truck. Or, I mean, her truck. But even if she's had, like, a KBM truck, she would still wreck it. And, I mean, her truck with a KBM GMS truck, you think you're going to beat Chase Elliott when he comes? You think you're going to beat Kyle Larson? You're going to be, how many trucks are there now, like 32, something like that? It's declined, the numbers. But say, like, you're going to be a 29th place truck. Meanwhile, Chase Elliott is going to be battling for a win because he's Chase freaking Elliott. Kyle Larson is going to be battling for a win. Kyle Busch is still going to be battling for a win, okay? You're making a big deal out of this bounty. This isn't even like a bounty where you're going to try and, you know, take someone's head off. No, you're trying to beat them. That's the bounty here because Kyle Busch dominates so much in the trucks. And we've known this for years, but now they're finally deciding to do bounty for whatever reason. Still, these clowns need to get off with a reality show. And she actually did quote her husband, by the way. They just need to get out of this reality show and just focus on their team. If their team falls, so be it. But she basically also said, "Thanks for the confidence and support, babe. I'll make it even better. I'll put up another 50K of my own to make it 100K. What do you say? At Marcellus. Yeah, Marcellus Lemonis. Marcus Lemonis. I should say Marcus Lemonis. My bad. Want to have some fun? Perhaps doubt it. Any else want in? It should be anyone else wants in, actually. I believe in myself 100%. Well, it's good to have confidence, but, in the words of this tweet, yeah, that's, I'm just going to leave the tweet as that. I mean, you're not going to beat a Kyle Busch. You're not going to beat Chase Elliott. You won't even beat a Timmy Hill, for crying out loud. Come on now. You won't beat a John Hunter Nemechek. You won't even beat someone like Ron Hornaday. You won't even beat someone like... You won't even beat Jennifer Jo Cobb. That's bad when I say that. You will not beat Jennifer Jo Cobb. And if I'm saying that, that's bad. That is bad. I don't think you will. In a one-on-one race, I think she beats you. I'm being serious. I'm not going after you. And you can find this tweet. You can find this on my, you know, on Anchor and stuff like that, on the podcast. But I'm just spinning facts out here, girl. I'm just spinning them facts. You wouldn't beat any of these drivers. Not even some average ones. But that's pretty much all I want to get to with that. I finished my rant. I finished what I had to finish about it. And, yeah. Not looking so good for that family right now. That family was clowning too hard, and they backfired. But I guess since that's over now, we could actually preview a bit of Atlanta Motor Speedway. So Atlanta Motor Speedway. Little trivia here. Who has the most wins, which are 9? That would be the Intimidator, Big E, Dale Earnhardt. He had 9 wins here. Most laps completed was by Richard Petty with 17,513. Most laps led, Cale Yarborough, 3,283, and an average start of 4.1 by Fred Lorenzen. The first winner was, in fact, Fireball Roberts. Back in July 31st of 1960. And, of course, we talked about Brakuslawski winning it twice in 2017 and 2019. Brakuslawski was the last winner of the Atlanta race when that was, of course, the second race of the season. So we're going to have to see what Brakuslawski can do with his new crew chief. I think it's going to be a big race. We'll have to see what happens. It's going to be exciting. It's going to be real exciting, but let's, in fact, preview. We'll have to see what's going to be going on. Of course, it's going to be a big Speed Weeks. We'll, in fact, preview probably Speed Weeks for Atlanta Motor Speedway once these pop up. And we'll also go over some other news here with Adam Stern. Of course, I'm not going to go over the Goodyear tires. We already talked. Everyone knows about that already. You could just go find that out on Twitter if you didn't know. But there's, in fact, going from 4 lug nuts to 1 lug nut, a whole different tire change. Just trying to find it right here real quick on NASCAR's site. And the NASCAR weekend schedule. So Friday, Gander Outdoor Truck Series has practice 1:35 to 2:25. The Xfinity Series has practice then 2:35 to 3:25. And then the Cup goes 3:35 to 4:25. That's Friday. Final practice then is for the trucks is after the Cup. Then it goes Xfinity. Then the final practice for the Cup is 5:35 to 6:25. Got it. And then, of course, we got the races Saturday. Excuse me there. We, of course, then have the races. You have the FedEx Campaign World 200. That's at 1:30. And then 4 p.m., you also have the Echo Park 250 for the Xfinity Series. So you have two races. You have basically a back-to-back with the trucks and the Xfinity Series. And then Sunday, of course, is the Cup race, which is going to be at 3 p.m., I think, again. Should be about 3 p.m. That will, in fact, be on Fox, regular Fox. And soon it's going to, in fact, be going to FS1 as usual, but that's going to be the whole schedule for this week. All right, now, I saw this tweet actually from Adam Stern, okay? I saw this tweet real quick from Adam Stern. Of course, we all know who that is. Motorsports reporter of Sports Business Journal. He's really good. But it was that Fox TV. Now, ratings were down, apparently. They were down like a couple points, so it earned a 2.7 rating. And it drew in 4.6 million views from Sunday's race at Phoenix. It was off from a 2.9 rating and 4.8 million from last year's race. However, there's some positives to this. I'm going to get some of my water real quick, and I'll tell you what those positives are. Needed that for sure after a nice workout today. But there are some positives. First, it's not really much of a big downfall. And besides, they weren't going off of numbers from, you know, streaming on the Fox Sports app or on Fox Sports Go on your laptop or anything like that, which I imagine had some pretty big number, pretty big numbers too. And another thing is that there was a big game going on too in the Clippers and Lakers at Staples Center. Remember, this is the first game against these two teams this year. Because remember, that's going to be a preview of probably the Western Conference Finals in the NBA between those two. And NASCAR beat out both that and the XFL. And, of course, the XFL was on FS1 when the NASCAR race was happening, so XFL dropped big time because of that. But the thing that would beat LeBron against Kawhi, you got Pat Bev against guys like Kyle Kuzma. You know, Alex Caruso. Guys like that. You would think a game like that would draw in almost everyone, but no. NASCAR ended up actually beating out probably the biggest NBA game of the week. And I know Clay Travis is out there fist pumping, because I know him, he doesn't like the NBA very much, calls it all woke, but that's big on NASCAR. NASCAR has not really been a major sport much. And remember, NASCAR also has March Madness coming up. They have the MLB coming up. And they have to fight that off too. And then football comes up. This is huge. That they end up being, because now it gives them confidence. If this was with Brian France taking over still, you would not see this. The changes have been drastic. Barstool Effect has been real good for them. As much as I do not like El Presidente, the Barstool Effect has done greatness for the sport. And if this continues, you can see NASCAR maybe being out the NFL once it comes back. Who knows? That can happen. That can happen big time. That's pretty much why I wanted to go on with all that news stuff like that. There is also a Kyle Busch scheme that is going to run. The scheme is called Thanks for Being as Awesome as I Am. And I kind of like this scheme because this is like Kyle Busch, because Kyle Busch has that same attitude with his paint scheme. Thank you for being as awesome. Thank you for being as awesome as I am. That's kind of like a Kyle Busch thing to say. Because Kyle Busch thinks that he's like, you know, this really cool dude sometimes. And, you know, he is a cool dude, no lie. But, you know, he's a show-off type of guy, too. So this guy actually fits Kyle Busch. The scheme, again, you can go on Amstern. That's A_S12 on his Twitter. You can find that. But that's just a nice little paint scheme going on here. It's kind of like the same. It's his same car, basically, except the hood's different because it has that, and the sides are slightly different too. That's pretty much it. All right, I think that's going to be it really for this episode. I have nothing really else to talk about much here on today's show. Pretty much. Oh, there is. Oh, yeah, One Deck actually. By the way, One Deck, two-way sponsorship for Daniel Hemrick too. And also, guess what? With Phoenix. Since this was such a great race, this was a really good race. Guess what? Imagine what the championship's going to be like in November. That's all I'm just going to leave it as that, because they nearly sold out. They nearly were selling out at this Phoenix race. And the championship has been, I think, as reported by Stern, maybe sold out as well. We don't really know, but who knows what's going to happen. It's nearly sold out. I'll just put it as that. All right. I love you guys. Thank you guys for listening to The Caution Flag. This has been Ian O'Brien signing out. Everyone, beware of the coronavirus, because all the schools are now on lockdown for sure. And they won't let any kids come back until this is all settled. I'm not coming back till 23rd. I know some people have it till April. But anyways, that will be it. Thank you all for joining us, The Caution Flag. I'm Ian O'Brien. Kisses. I'm signing out. Goodbye, everyone. Have a great day. Go exercise, go lift, go do something like that. Thank you all. See ya.